tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 12th of June 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Yes, that's right, we've reached the end of another week, which means we don't have geopolitical analysis, we don't have racially themed attacks that have been going on in Ireland and in England. Today we have a more of a light-hearted look at things, and we have a very special guest with us today. We have Grandpa Dan all the way from Texas. Grandpa, good day, sir. How's life treating you?
I don't know how special I am, but I have no complaints. Everything's just fine, and it's always good to wrap up another week as we delve into not a transgender story. So yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I've been trying to avoid the transgender stories, and I try to avoid the sort of serious stuff that's going on over here in Britain. I know we talked about some serious stuff, which was people being killed last week, but that was in Africa. It wasn't actually in Europe or America. So it's not so close to home, so we can sort of discuss those sorts of things. And today I want to take a look at something that one of the British police forces has been doing, and the article is a pay-per-view article on GB News, and the headline is Essex Police Call White People Non-Protected Group in Leaked Diversity Documents. Well, how about that then? I mean, we've been saying for this for a long time, we've been saying white people are the only non-protected group in society, and here we have it confirmed for us in a police force's diversity documents. Essex Police has come under fire for describing white people as a non-protected group in its diversity memos, GB News can reveal. In documents seen by this broadcaster, the force has set a goal to narrow the disparity in stop and search and other police actions between protected and non-protected groups. The force's monitoring of stop and search in diversity documents lists two groups, white and black, Asian, and minority ethnic. The Equality Act lists 9 protected characteristics, including age, sex, and race. No other police force refers to non-protected groups in its publications. Essex Police did not explain its use of non-protected groups, nor dispute that it refers to white people. And I think we'll just pause it there. I mean, they're just, you know, not sort of saying it does or it doesn't, but it quite clearly does say that white people are non-protected. And I've thought this for a while, because we have this law that says certain groups have protected characteristics, and if somebody is criticized on the basis of their protected characteristics, then that becomes a hate crime. And these protected characteristics are things like race, disability, gender, sex, and it's quite obvious that white people don't actually count for this. White people are a non-protected group, and this is what we see happening. This is what we recently saw happening with Henry Novak when he was murdered, effectively. But a member of one of these groups with protected characteristics was the murderer, and the minute that he said, oh, somebody used racism against me, officer, the minute he said that, then the stabbing was completely forgotten about, and the incident then became a critical incident because of the fact that somebody with protected characteristics has said that somebody else used their protected characteristics as a reason for attacking them, whether they did or not. The police then have to jump to attention and create it as a critical incident. And this is something we've been saying for all this time. So it is quite surprising that they've actually put it in black and white in this document and admitted that white people are non-protected. The only group in society that are non-protected, in fact. I mean, you don't have anything like this over in America, do you, Grandpa? You don't have protected characteristics, I don't think, in America, do you?
No, our cops will beat the crap out of you no matter who you are. They're equal whip-your-ass opportunists here in the U.S., which, you know, is a great step forward. A great step forward in equality. I thought it was funny they actually spelled out Black, Asian, minority, ethnic, because I know over there they were using the term BAME, you know, the acronym. But then I think they decided at some point that that was racist too, so they quit using the acronym. I don't know how they came to that conclusion, but nevertheless, I said this last week, if you live in the UK, your government hates you. I mean, it's just, you know, and we're all kind of in the same boat, but the UK is just so over the top in their hatred of their native population that it's laughably obvious. And, you know, that's just the reality. I don't know, you know, how many of these stories we have to do or how many of these stories have to come up for people to just grapple with that reality. If you live in one of these countries like, you know, the UK, you know, your government and you're part of the native population, they hate you. You can get into the whys or the what fors all you want to. And in a way, that's almost irrelevant. What matters is the reality that your government hates you. And, you know, that's just how it is. Because you look at this. This is, you know, they go through all of this nonsense. And look, it's protecting the law. I mean, I'm sorry, it's enforcing the law, which should be one of the most, you know, as far as treating people fairly, this should be one of the most straightforward, cut and dried things. This is the law and it is applied. You know, if you're Black, Asian, and minority, ethnic, disability, whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, this is the law. This is how it's enforced. If you're white, this is the law, you know, and when people are, you know, angry and complaining about the British two-tier justice system, that's why they're complaining, because that's not how it's done. And this should, again, this should be so simple. You just, this is the law and it's enforced the same for everybody. And if the law is unjust and incorrect, then it needs to be changed. But this shouldn't even be, of course, in any kind of common sense world, this shouldn't even be a difficult concept. This is the law and it's enforced the same for everybody. Instead, they create these groups, and if you're white, you're the non-protected group. And if you fall in one of these other categories, then you're the protected group. Well, you know, it's supposed to be the cop's job to basically protect everyone. It's not, obviously, but it's supposed to be. And then why is that? Why is that not what's being done? And what is even the purpose of having, why do you have cops? You were talking about the incident. Of course, we touched on it last week of this, you know, the arrest of the guy that got stabbed and he dies, and there's the cops. Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with you, guy bleeding out. You know, I mean, it's just, why even have law enforcement? You know, I mean, that's just, what's the point of having them? Just save the tax money and just disband the police. You know, maybe remember when they were doing Black Lives Matter and they were calling for just, you know, getting rid of all the police. Maybe that's something that people should get behind, because obviously they're not doing their job as what people perceive it should be. So why even have them around? They're not enforcing the law. They're enforcing some sort of new pseudo morality that is being handed down from on high, that honestly, the parameters of which are constantly shifting. People can't even keep up with it. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Just, you know, more clown world nonsense. And at the forefront, so, man, y'all are lucky because they're in the UK. Y'all are at the forefront, the cutting edge of clown worldry.
Well, we certainly are. A former police officer said that it was appalling to see the woke wing of a police force promoting the idea of protected groups and non-protected groups. Well, they're not just promoting this idea, this is the way that they police. In a statement, a police spokesperson said, if you commit a crime, you can expect to be arrested, whoever you are. If you need help, you can expect to get it, whoever you are. Yes, but you're expected to be, you're going to be treated in a different way, whether you are white or whether you are black, when you are arrested, aren't you? And when you phone up the police and say, well, a crime has taken place, they're going to listen to somebody who isn't white because they know that they will have the protected characteristics more than somebody who is white. And they're also going to be terrified that they're going to lose their job if they get accused of racism. The controversial reference to non-protected groups is found in the force's diversity, equality and inclusion strategy for 2020 to 2025. And introducing this strategy, Chief Constable B.J. Harrington said, "Our diversity is everything." So it's clear it's the most important thing to them is diversity and promoting this diversity, equality and inclusion strategy. And if we have a look at what they were actually promoting here, they've got some pictures of it. Narrow the disparity between protected groups and non-protected groups in respect of the use of police powers, such as stops, searches and the use of force. Well, if we just stop there, stop and search. It seems that black people are four times more likely to be stop and searched than white people. Yet black people are four times more likely to be in jail for a violent crime as well. So it sort of means that they're four times more likely to be carrying a weapon than white people. And yet they're saying here that this is wrong because black people are being stop and searched more. This needs to change. They need to narrow the disparity. So essentially they're saying we should not be stopping and searching black people because that's the only way that you're going to get this disparity down. And then they say improve the experiences of policing services without reducing the legitimate use of police powers to protect communities. Understand, explain and reduce the disparity in the use of force between white, black, Asian and minority ethnic people. Well, how are they going to do that other than in the case of where force is needed, not use it effectively? I mean, they're not saying that the use of force is being used when it shouldn't be. So what they're effectively saying here is that they're just going to have to stop using it so much. So when the black person fights back and resists arrest, they're just not going to have to be able to use force to stop him. Otherwise, you're going to find out that more black people have the use of force used against them. And there are other reasons for this other than the police being racist. Things such as black people are more likely to resist arrest. And one of the reasons for that may be because they're programmed and they're primed by the mainstream media to see police as being anti-black and wanting to harm them. You particularly get this in America. A cop will stop a black person and he'll say to him, put your hands on the dashboard where I can see them. And the black person will start freaking out, waving his arms around, saying he doesn't want to be killed, he doesn't want to be shot, etc., etc., etc. And the policeman is going to say, put your hands on the dashboard where I can see them. And the black person doesn't put his hands on the dashboard. The black person panics. And then he ends up getting shot. You know, this is the sort of thing that you end up seeing on these videos, because black people respond in a different way to white people when they're being arrested. You know, there are these differences between these people groups. It is not because white people are racist that black people get stopped more. It's because black people are more likely to carry out violent crime. And it's not because black people police want to kill black people. Why black people end up dying in police custody? A lot of the time, it's because they resist arrest and they'll try to grab the police officer's gun, or they'll think it comes down to a fight between them and the police officer, and that's what determines whether they're going to win or not. I mean, just the other day, we had this horrific thing going on in Belfast, and a thought occurred to me: these two white men went over there and they stopped this black person from trying to behead somebody else. And I was looking at that and I was just thinking, that black person probably has no idea why those white people interfered. I mean, why would he expect white people to interfere? The person he was attacking is on the ground. That was the person he was attacking. He wasn't attacking these two white people that started hitting him with a hockey stick. You know, why would they come in and interfere? It's between him and the person that he's attacking. And that's generally the way that black people think about things. They think, what has it got to do with anybody else in society? This beef is between me and this person here. It's got nothing to do with you. And of course, that's a complete opposite way to how white people look at things. We look at things that if something like that goes on in society, it hurts the whole of society. society. It hurts the whole community if one person in the community gets beaten up. It hurts the whole community. Whereas black people would look at it as just, well, this is just a beef that I have with this one person. What has it got to do with you? And that's the instinctual way that they look at it. I think this is the root of this problem is you literally have different ethnicities deal with different biologies, with different ways of doing things. And we're told somehow these different groups, vastly different to one another, have all got to have the same outcomes. And the only way you can get these out the same outcomes is if you treat this other group differently, which is effectively discrimination, which is what we've been told we must never do. You know, what's the worst evil in the 21st century in Western civilization? It's discrimination. You must not discriminate against people based on the colour of their skin. And yet that's exactly what the police are being told to do. Grandpa, any thoughts on this?
Well, you were talking, going back, you were talking about like in America with the resisting arrest and whatnot. And, you know, you also have to realize that when those cases come up and the victim of that is a black suspect, that gets all the media attention. You can do a little digging and there's plenty of white people that get the same treatment at the hands of American police. It's a meme at this point of the cops, you know, beating the crap out of you while yelling, stop resisting. And the person is laying on the ground. There's even been videos because they make a lot of police here now wear body cams because it's gotten so out of hand. And it doesn't matter. Even with the body cams on, these cops will still act outrageous. And there's even been cases where like, they've knocked a guy out and he's on the ground unconscious. And these cops are on top of him, wailing on him and cranking his arms, screaming, stop resisting. And it's clear that the person is, you know, is unconscious. So, you know, but it's just that it only gets a lot of play in the media. And at certain times, if the person that's happening to is black, because then they can, that for some reason that makes a story. But one thing it does have in common with the, what we're talking about in the UK, and I want to go back to this statement from the police spokesperson. It's that where they said, quote, if you commit a crime, you can expect to be arrested, whoever you are. If you need help, you can expect to get it, whoever you are. So the commonality is here. Their first reaction is to gaslight people. This entire story says that's not the case, and evidence bears it out that that is not the case. But your police spokespeople, always they come out and gaslight the public. Oh, we're treating everybody the same. If you do a crime, you're getting arrested. It doesn't matter who you are. And yet their very own documents basically say that is not the case. But they just try to gaslight everybody and say, no, we're totally treating everybody equally. Well, if that's the case, why did you even need this diversity, equity, and inclusion strategy? You know, why do you even need that? If you're treating everybody the same, you know, it's a contradictory. And they just come out and they try to gaslight the public and say, oh, that's, don't believe your lying eyes. Don't believe what you've heard, what you've said. Now, you're talking about the stopping and searching. And this, we get into this here. And they say, oh, my gosh, I'll throw these statistics. And you always have to remember, you can make statistics say whatever you want. You know, you tell me what you want the message to be, and I can dig up some statistics to justify that message, no matter how inverted it might be. You can make statistics do anything. And a good example of this, they're talking about stopping and searching people. You know, oh my gosh, well, they're four times more likely they're stopping these ethnic minorities. Okay. Well, if there's been a crime and the suspect description is young black male in a hoodie, you know, the cops are not going to be stopping an old white man wearing a pair of blue jeans because he does not meet the suspect description. You know, you say again, they can make these statistics. Oh, four times more likely they're stopping black people. That's racist. Well, if the suspect description is young black male wearing a hoodie, then they're probably going to be stopping young black males, probably wearing a hoodie, maybe not wearing a hoodie because they could have taken the hoodie off. But the point is, the suspect description, those are the people they're going to stop because that's the description of the suspect they're looking for. Also worth pointing out, because people naturally congregate in their own areas. You know, they act like, you know, this is, oh, they're going out and hunting these people. Now, again, if the suspect description is this, And the crime is more than likely committed in an area where these people congregate. So in other words, they are keeping that community. If it's, say, it's a, you know, the black community, more than likely, if this is where the crime has been committed and this is where they're looking for a suspect, the crime was probably committed against another black person. So, you know, just because that's probably the area that they're in. We saw a couple of years ago when they were doing all of this ridiculous Black Lives Matter stuff. And at one point, I think it was in St. Louis, the cops were fine, you know, because they were doing all this. Oh, we don't even want the police. We don't want y'all in our areas anymore. And the cops were like, fine, we won't go to your areas anymore. And then like after 3 days, the people in that area were like, where's the police at? This place is a war zone. You know, so you wind up, those areas are the ones that are victimized first is the point here. And in the context of all of this, you have to ask, you know, going back to the UK here. Because, you know, these stories and whatnot. I just have to ask, what kind of person even wants to be a cop in the UK? I mean, I don't care what the job pays. You know, if I lived over there, for that matter, even in the US, you couldn't pay me. You could say, oh, it pays $1 million a year. I'm not going to be a cop in the UK, especially. You know, I wouldn't be a cop in America either because I have morals and, you know, I have actual, you know, morality. But, you know, I just cannot imagine what personality, what type of person even wants to be a cop in the UK. Like if I lived in the UK and people asked me, hey, what do you do for a living? And I said, oh, I'm a bobby here in the UK. I mean, I would think that people at some point are going to look at you like you just told them I'm a registered sex offender. You know, I bugger the little boys. You know, people looking at you aghast, like, you're one of those. I mean, I don't understand how you're not getting to that point where, like, they can't go out in public and tell people what they do for a job. Be like, they'd be lying. Be like, what do you do for a living? I'm a garbage man. Oh, good on you. I wish we'd be buried in rubbish if not for you blokes. You're a lot of help. Sorry for the poor accent, but you know what I mean. Where you'd be embarrassed to tell people I'm a cop in the UK because it's just, how would you even be proud of being in that profession? And it seems to be getting collectively worse. I don't see any improvement.
Well, I think a lot of black and minority ethnic people now apply to be police. I think a while back they did away with the requirement not to have a criminal record to join the police. In their attempt to get more black and minority ethnics to join the police, they said, well, so many of them have got a criminal record, it sort of prevents them from being able to join. So they did away with the requirement to not have a criminal record to actually join. And I think what they're saying here, if they're going to get these numbers down, effectively, if somebody's black and they report a crime being carried out by a black person, the police will just have to say, well, sorry, we can't investigate this. We've already investigated too many black people this month. It's a disparity there. And it's already going up higher than the percentage of white people that we've investigated. So we're just not going to investigate it, which is going to end up harming the black community. I mean, this is the ridiculous thing about this. The people that promote this stuff say that it's all about protecting the black community, and it's not protecting the black community if you are refusing to lock up the black criminals in that black community, or you are refusing to search them for knives and other weapons which they're going to use to go and stab other black people with, because you're concerned that you're stopping and searching too many of them. Well, introducing this strategy, Chief Constable BJ Harrington said, our diversity is everything. And he said, we will celebrate our diversity and ensure established and newer communities interact and grow safely together with mutual understanding, respect and dignity for all. Well, this is quite an old phrase that we've been pointing out for probably about the last 10 years now. Them saying, oh, well, we celebrate our diversity. Isn't diversity wonderful? Diversity is such a strength. Well, for a lot of people, diversity ends up being a death sentence. And yet we're told we should be celebrating this. Should we be celebrating the fact that they are arresting less black criminals? Because that's what the end result of this will be. They're not saying that the crime rate has gone down amongst black people. What they want to bring down amongst black people is the arrest rate, arresting them for these crimes. He added, any form of inequality or disproportionality can harm community cohesion. We commit to resolving these inequalities. Sometimes our operations may involve stopping 10 people to find one weapon, and we sincerely apologise for the inconvenience this causes. So they're committed to tackling any disproportionality or inequality. And I mean, how can you do that when you have a population that is four times more likely to carry out violent crime? I mean, I say this so many times, but how would you do this if you were to say, well, there's disproportionality between men and women, and we're arresting far too many men. We're arresting 98 men to every two women. I mean, we have to get these numbers down. We'll have to start letting 96 of these men off and then only arresting two of them. And of course, that's a ridiculous idea. And yet that's what's being promoted here with black people. They're saying, well, you shouldn't be arresting black people at the same rates that you're arresting white people. And it's so obvious to people that these people look different. They sound different. They smell different. They look different. And yet we just assume that they're exactly the same as us, and they have exactly the same character, and they think exactly the same way as we do. And they don't. All the evidence tells us that they don't think in the same way as us. And in actual fact, I mean, if you're going to have a multicultural country and you're going to have these two groups like this, and you're going to have one group with a low IQ that is more likely to carry out crime, and you want them to feel that they're at the same level as everybody else, then I mean, that's the only thing you can really do, isn't it, is to just not prosecute them, and to say, well, these people, they just don't have the same level of responsibility that white people do for carrying out these crimes in the first place. But then you're talking about the soft bigotry of low expectations. So you can't have it both ways, can you? You can't say, well, these black people, they're not really responsible for their own actions, so we should just let them off instead of putting them in prison. And at the same time say, yes, but everybody is all the same. Everybody has the same IQ, and everybody is equal, when quite clearly we're not equal. If we have this problem where four times as many black people are being stopped and searched, and four times as many of them are in jail for violent crimes, then we're not equal. And that's at the root of all of this, is the fact that we're not equal, and yet our whole society has become based around promoting this falsehood that everybody is equal. And this is why we have this inequality, is because we're not equal. And the people that point this out, we run the risk of going to prison for pointing this out and talking about the statistics and the facts and the evidence. And we're told that it doesn't actually exist. Literally, I was told that in court, that the evidence in these facts, you know, I was just making them up. Well, I'm not making up these statistics. And you can look at David Lammy's own statistics for the numbers of black people that are in prison for violent crime. Grandpa, any thoughts on this? I mean, this is the root of the problem, isn't it? We are all different, and yet we're told that we're all the same. So they have to force these laws on us to try and fight against reality and fight against nature, just to make it appear that we're the same, when quite clearly we're not. And in the end, you're just going to end up using every resource that Western civilization has in trying to promote this falsehood that we're all equal.
Well, if you look at this in the context, if you set in your mind, what if, because you look at it at first and it looks like none of this makes any sense, or it's silly, or it's backwards. But if you step back and say, consider the viewpoint that the government hates the native population, then it all makes sense. Then it pretty much makes sense. One of the commonalities you see when liars are lying, and especially liars in a public position, is, and I point this out all the time, you always want to hold them to definitions and look for the word salad, what I call the word salad. Go back to this statement from this chief constable. Our diversity is everything. We will celebrate our diversity and ensure established and newer communities interact and grow safely together with mutual understanding, respect, and dignity for all. Now, what does any of that mean? No, as far as, okay, what are you going to do? You know, if they said, we're going to come in these communities and, you know, we're going to do A, B, and C, you know, tangible, actual things they're going to do. We're going to put a cop. If they said, we're going to go in this neighborhood, we're going to put a cop on every corner. You know, anybody that looks like they have a knife, we're going to stop them and search them. You know, those are tangible things you can say, okay, this is their policy. This is what they plan to do. What he says here, all of this that I just read, I'm not going to read it again. None of that means anything. It's just a word salad. It's one of the ways you know they're gaslighting and lying to you. None of this is actually what they're going to do. We're going to make sure the established newer communities interact and grow safe. None of that is an actual, we're going to do A, B, and C. Never mind that none of this diversity is our everything, blah, blah, blah. That's not the job of the police, supposedly. None of these, it always cracks me up because they put these big pompous sounding, it sounds grand, high moralistic statements that mean absolutely nothing. And so often you'll hear these or you'll read these statements and they just kind of fly past you. You know, you go, oh, okay, well, it sounds like more of that woke nonsense, without stopping and going, wait a minute, what does any of that actually mean? Let me slow down and read that a little slower, because when you do, you look at it and say, well, none of that actually means anything. What's this? This is just gibberish. This guy is spewing out a bunch of moral sounding gibberish that doesn't actually mean anything. Again, why do you have a police force? What is their basic functional job? And really, through this whole story, I don't see where they're doing what is their fundamental job. They're not. So why have them? What's even the point? They're so off mission. If you think their mission is to protect and to serve and to enforce the law, that there's no point in even having them. And I'll just make one more thing reference that you were talking about. At some point, the police would have to say, well, we're just not going to arrest any more black people because we've arrested too many already. Well, the flip side of that, to keep up with that, they're going to micro enforce the smallest infractions on the white population, aren't they? You know, to keep it even. If as you were saying, Sven, that, you know, they could lead to a point by their own reasoning that, you know, they get called in for a crime in a black neighborhood and they say, well, sorry, we can't do anything about it because we've already met our quota here. We're at the 50-50 here and we can't exceed that. So you're going to have to wait. So the other side of that, if you flip it over, is when they get called into some minor infraction or observe some minor infraction in the white community, they're going to drop the hammer because we got full leeway here. So we can actually do something here. And at the end of the day, this isn't working out for anybody. The police aren't doing their job. And again, it leads people to the question of why do you even have them?
Well, you pointed out there that we don't have any actual concrete objectives here. There's another little inset in the article: strategic aims and objectives. Attract, recruit, progress, and retain a more diverse workforce that better reflects our communities to improve confidence in Essex police. So they're admitting there that you really need to have police made up of the same members of the community. So what they're effectively saying is communities that are majority black, we need to have a majority black police force. And if they're saying that, well, what about the communities that are white? They need to have a predominantly white police force, would you not say? Oh, no, they won't have that. They want this diversity everywhere. I mean, Essex has it's where all the white people fled to from London. It's where all the Cockneys fled to. The white flight was into Essex. And now they're following them with this and saying, well, we're going to need to turn the police force black, basically, in order to hit our diversity quota. They say increase the number of black, Asian and minority ethnic officers and staff to be more reflective of the economically active population in Essex. I guess I say economically active because pensioners, that age group, because we didn't really have any black people here until after the Second World War, all the people that are in old age now, they're all white people, basically. So that's why it says the economically active population in Essex, because I think a lot of the black population are actually on benefits. They're not economically active. So that's a politically correct way of saying that. And they say increase the proportion of black, Asian, minority, ethnic and female colleagues in specialist roles and leadership positions. Again, bear in mind that some of these people have an average IQ of 60. And the ones in Britain have an average IQ between 70 and 80. And they're saying we need to be putting them in specialist roles and leadership positions. Again, just ignoring the basic biology. Improve the confidence of officers and staff to self-declare their sexual orientation, disability and religion to better understand and reflect the diversity of the force. So they want to encourage people to talk about their sexual preferences in daily conversation. I mean, really? Is that really what the police should be doing? This is going to improve the police force? Increase the proportion of people who choose to declare their ethnicity or other data relevant to diversity and inclusion in force records, use of powers records, or suspect, victim, and complainant records. I mean, they're saying there that people are do not want to disclose their ethnicity. I mean, one of these surveys that they did when they had a look at these stop and search, they said 20% of people, we don't actually know what ethnicity they are. Well, instead of asking people to self-declare it, how about they just write down what ethnicity they are from what they can see? I mean, we can see the differences between the races. When we look at DNA studies, they cluster together in exactly the same way as our visual interpretation of the races do. So we have some strategic aims and objectives there. We have some more here from this police officer who's giving this lesson. Mr. Harrington. He also lamented the disparity in the number of young black men who enter the criminal justice system and made reference to the death of George Floyd in the United States. So, I mean, he is pointing out this. He's pointing out we have far too many young black men in the criminal justice system, and the way to deal with that is to not stop and search them and not arrest them. And he brings up the death of George Floyd as evidence for this. Grandpa, what are your thoughts on George Floyd and on their objectives here?
What the hell would that have to do with anything to do in the UK? That was in the US. Of course, we know he died of a fentanyl overdose, but, that never let a little reality get in the way. And it just, I guess this reference to George Floyd, even though this is about the UK, it just shows that, again, this is a political conversation, not about law enforcement. It's not about community safety. It's not about any of those things. This is political, this is just political theater, would be what I would say.
Well, the controversial diversity document, which promotes claims on some contested beliefs, was steered by Essex Police's diversity and inclusion team. And what they mean by contested beliefs is that it will have been talking about white privilege and institutional racism, all of these things that don't actually exist. At the time, the team's manager was Vernal Scott, who wrote that the strategy's destiny of life-enhancing outcomes for everybody will be well worth the inevitable occasional bump in the road. And I guess that's what we've got at the moment with the police allowing Henry Novak to die under their hands after they had just arrested him. I guess that's just one of these inevitable occasional bumps in the road that you get when you start promoting diversity, equity and inclusion amongst the police. And Mr. Scott has since left the force, joining Oxford University as head of its Equality and Diversity Unit in October 2023. Again, what is an Equality and Diversity Unit? Well, it's a part of an organisation that tries to replace as many white people as possible with black and brown people. The Diversity Department leader has faced criticism in his new role after he celebrated an attempt to shut down a Conservative conference in Brussels last month. A regional mayor ordered Belgian police to shut down the National Conservatism Conference, with Suella Braverman, the former Home Secretary, and Nigel Farage, the leader of the opposition, pretty much in Britain, set to speak. "I applaud the mayor and the police of Brussels for their decision to close down this conference," Mr. Scott wrote on X, formerly Twitter. He has since deleted the post. Well, there you go. I mean, he's quite clearly a supporter of censorship as well. He doesn't even want mainstream politicians to be able to speak. I'm surprised he's still using X, with it being in the hands of Elon Musk, who is the latest devil incarnate for Keir Starmer and the rest of them. You know what they were saying about this recent attempted beheading in Northern Ireland? What Keir Starmer and the Labour have been saying is, oh, we need to clamp down on Elon Musk and we need to change the Online Safety Act to get him to remove footage like this before the public get a chance to see it. Not doing anything to protect the public from the beheading, but what they need to do is prevent the public from hearing about the beheading in the first place. That's their first instinct. It's not to protect the British people. It's to hide these things from the British public's eyes. And that's exactly what we see going on here. Diversity and inclusion expert, he wants to shut down this conference and stop people from talking about these issues. Civic nationalist issues as well, not even ethno-nationalist issues, populist issues. That's what you would get with Suella Braverman and Nigel Farage, not ethno-nationalism. Grandpa, any thoughts on this?
Again, proof that the government hates you. It hates their native populations. And you see this all throughout the West. You know, I mean, it's just, again, if you view it in that context, it all makes sense. I can't help but once again, it's maybe belaboring the point. Liars always use this word salad. I want to go back to this Vernal Scott's quote that you read earlier, who wrote that the strategies, quote, destiny of life enhancing outcomes for everybody will be well worth the inevitable occasional bump in the road. None of that means destiny of life enhancing outcomes. You know, define some of that. Define it for me. You can't. He can't. It's just word salad. These people speak in this jingoistic rhetoric. And you're just supposed to be bedazzled. You know, it's like they're trying to hypnotize you. Oh, life enhancing outcomes for everybody. Destiny of life enhancing. Stop. I get so wore out with these liars because that's what they are. And that's why they, you know, if they're speaking honestly with an honest position that they believe in, they can speak clearly. They can define terms. They can tell you, well, I believe A, B, and C. And if we do these things, we will get to that outcome because you can see where this, they never do that. They always speak in this jingoistic, vague rhetoric that when you really stop and parse it, it has no actual meaning. So yeah, it's just a good way. It's just a good way to spot them, you know, when they're trying to BS you, when they're trying to snow you, Sven.
Well, it's hardly a life enhancing outcome if you end up getting stabbed by somebody that the police didn't stop and search because they thought it would be racist if they did. I mean, that's a life ending outcome. So Noel Malcolm, a senior research fellow at All Souls, told The Telegraph, "It's very troubling to think that someone appointed to promote diversity has such a narrow concept of what diversity is." Well, we've known this for some time. They don't actually mean diversity of thought. What they mean is just more black people, effectively. That's what they mean by diversity, not diversity in thoughts, opinions and ways of doing things, but just more black people. The University of Oxford said its diversity head's comments do not represent the views of the university. Well, I think they probably do represent the views of the university because we're often hearing about Oxford University and its antipathy towards free speech. Rory Geoghegan, founder of the Public Safety Foundation, told GB News that the vast majority of police officers and staff come to work to help protect us all. So to see the woke wing of a police force promoting the idea of protected groups and non-protected groups is nothing short of appalling. But it's a fact, though, isn't it? I mean, that is what's written into the law, is protected characteristics. So if you have groups with protected characteristics, quite clearly there are also groups who don't have protected characteristics, and they are non-protected groups. It portrays the men and women on the front line who bravely and routinely risk their lives and their livelihoods for people, regardless of their skin colour, sex, or any other attribute. Yes, but if they do that, regardless of skin colour, they run the risk of being accused of being racist and losing their job. And this was pointed out by somebody the other day, that if you're working for the civil service, I mean, pretty much the only thing you could ever be sacked for is racism. Everything else, you'd be allowed to stay in your position. So it's quite clearly they don't want to be accused of being racist, and stopping and searching more black people, if you don't actually know the facts behind it, does look as if you're being racist, doesn't it? Mr. Jorgen, a former police officer, added, "It also feeds the growing frustration and concern that pockets of policing are in the grip of activists who are willfully or ignorantly promoting divisive ideologies and politics." And this is the sort of problem that we also see with the trans agenda. They have the law that they need to promote equality. Everyone needs to promote equality. Who are we going to get in to teach us about this? Well, we need an expert. And the experts are all activists. So the experts in diversity and racial politics, racial grievance politics, they're all going to be activists, aren't they? So it's activists that have been telling the police that the way to improve their relations with the black community is not to stop and search them for knives, which, of course, is just going to increase the number of the black community who end up getting stabbed with knives. A layperson reading and reviewing these materials would be left concluding or wondering if white people are non-protected. A wholly outrageous idea to anyone of a reasonable nature, yet wholly acceptable to extremists and activists who are signed up to divisive racist ideologies. Well, it's not just that people are left to conclude that white people are non-protected. I mean, that's what's actually written in the law. If you look at the law, it talks about protected characteristics. So that clearly there's some groups are protected and some groups are non-protected. It's not just this police force that are using this. I mean, this actually comes down from the guidance itself, which says there are protected groups and non-protected groups. Grandpa, any thoughts on this?
Well, this guy's kind of playing the good cop here because he's gaslighting as well. It's another form of gaslighting, you know, to try to look like, you know, the reasonable one, you know. It feeds the growing frustration and concern that pockets of policing, but we're seeing that this is what they're doing generally. This is more the norm, I would say, than the outlier. You know, a lay person reading and reviewing these materials would be left concluding or wondering if white people are non-protected. A wholly outrageous idea, but it's not. I mean, we see this over and over. The most extreme example, again, is this recent stabbing to where they just sit there, just, oh, you're accused of a racism, go ahead and die. They referenced George Floyd earlier. This, the stabbing where the guy died, that was multiple times more outrageous than the George Floyd thing ever was. You know, but he says it's an outrageous idea that anybody of a reasonable nature, yet wholly acceptable to see, you're making the extremists and those with divisive racist ideologies, you're making them look right. See, that's what's bad about it. You're making these people with these racist ideologies, you're making them look correct here. So it's this guy. He's gaslighting the same as the other police spokesperson that we read about earlier. He's just doing it from the other angle. So see, they got the public in the middle that just thinks they just want the cops to fairly enforce the law against everybody. They don't want them going out and picking on anybody. They just want them to treat everybody fair. That's all anybody wants. But yet you, from the police spokesman to this guy, they're gaslighting us. They're gaslighting the public from both directions. And in the midst of this, you have the gibberish statements that don't mean anything. And, you know, everybody, the public at large, is just stuck in the middle. They just want crime to go down. They just want to be able to live their lives without having to worry about being a victim of crime. Is that too much to ask? Well, apparently, especially in the UK, but in the West in general, yes, the answer to that is yes. That is far too much to ask.
Yes, it is too much to ask. I mean, they're more concerned about policing what people say on Twitter and Facebook and people that are complaining about these problems rather than actually solving these problems themselves. Of course, that's the criticism that we make, and it's a valid criticism. And this just proves that it's a valid criticism. He also took aim at the force's aims to limit disparities in stop and search based on race. The supposedly clear headline objective of narrowing disparities in stop and search arrests and use of force is also ill-considered and misleading, said Mr. Jorgen. It assumes or implies that the largest component of any disparity is discrimination, denying the reality that the vast majority of police officers are simply responding to situations and people that they are called upon by the public and duty-bound to deal with. I mean, what he's effectively saying there is that, well, if somebody reports that they were attacked by a black person, the police then have to go and arrest that black person or question the black people in that area to see which one of them it was. And that's not discrimination. That's just what basic policing should be. And what they're saying here by getting rid of this disparity is that they will effectively just not have to investigate when somebody reports a black person has carried out a crime. An Essex police spokesperson said, "We police without fear or favour, and crime is down in Essex, with 12,000 fewer offences in the last 12 months. Again, that will be reported offences, and people just don't bother reporting offences anymore because none of them get investigated. I think it's something like under 5% of all crimes actually get solved. It might be far less than that now. It might be something like 2%, and it was 5% 20 years ago. And that's the reason why people don't report these crimes anymore. And you can steal up to, I think, £200 worth of goods before the police will even investigate. And yet, if you make an accusation of racism, there'll be four police officers there within minutes to investigate the accusation of racism. We heard this just last week in one of the podcasts that I did, and it was the head of Iceland, this massive supermarket in Britain that deals with frozen goods. And when he reports theft, shoplifting, nothing, no investigation. When somebody phones up and makes a false accusation of racism, four police show up within 3 minutes. So this, we police without fear or favour and crime is down in Essex, again, it's just nonsense. If you commit a crime, you can expect to be arrested, whoever you are. Well, not if you're a black person, because that would mean the figures would no longer be equal. It says, if you need help, you can expect to get it, whoever you are. It's why around 75% of people in Essex think we do a good or excellent job. Essex Police has reduced knife-enabled crime over the last year. And bear in mind, we did a podcast just the other day, I think myself and Sam Melia, looking at the Labour Party's youth justice plan. And part of that is not to put youths that are caught with knives, not to put them in prison. So this is how they're reducing the knife-enabled crime, by not prosecuting people for knife crime, effectively. That's their answer to this. We'll get the numbers down by just not prosecuting it. I mean, all in all, it's just a very sad indictment of the British police force. And this isn't just Essex. I mean, they make this point here. This is Essex, protected, non-protected groups. But it's the same everywhere. I mean, it's the same there with Hampshire Police. They had their race action initiative, their race action plan, which said that any accusation of racism needs to be treated as a critical incident, needs to be investigated straight away. And if the victim is black or minority ethnic, you cannot doubt what they've said. After all, they're the ones that are saying they're the victim of racism. They must be a victim of racism if they report that they are a victim of racism. This is the sort of nonsense that's going on in British policing. I know they're far more violent over their grandpa and they're armed, but at least they're not policing people's speech over there. I don't know which country I would rather be in, to be honest. Any thoughts yourself? Would you rather be in a country that policed speech but didn't have such violent police, or do you prefer being a country with violent police where you still have free speech?
Well, we still have a few. I mean, you know, you still have a chance of dealing with a cop that if you don't act like an idiot, they're not going to beat the crap out of you. So, yeah, I mean, there is that. No, for sure. The UK is cooked. I mean, y'all are like a laughing stock over there for us. I mean, we got our own problems, you know, with our own, you know, our own police issues, where they basically for years now have been trained. A lot of these larger departments are trained on the IDF model. They've been militarized, and, you know, look, they give them all these army weapons and gear, and there, you know, there's a certain segment of them that are just itching to use it, and you run into that. But still, if you're having to deal with a cop at a traffic stop or something like that, you know, if you're not a moron, they usually you're not going to have, you know, a bad interaction. So, yeah, for sure, we'll take it. Now, they're working on the police speeching at the federal level here. The Trump administration's really, they've got a czar of anti-Semitism, got a rabbi in charge of that. So they're working on criminalizing speech, especially anything that they can classify as anti-Semitism. So our days are probably numbered, but y'all are still further down the toilet than we are. And I'll just point out one last thing here. You know, that quote, the police without fear, favor, crime is down in Essex. With 12,000 fewer offenses in the last 12 months, and those red flags for me are always when they give you a specific time period. Crime with 12,000 fewer offenses in the last 12 months. What about the last 12 years? Why did they pick 12 months? So what was the year before like, and why was it like that? They always try to narrow your perspective and set the definition of terms of what you're allowed to look at. Let's look back 10 years, 5 years. How was the crime then? Is the crime down compared to that? You know, and of course, again, they don't ever want to have that conversation.
They certainly don't. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.